Business, finance, and investment news. MoneyWeb Now.
With Simon Brown.
On the Money. Also available on podcast.
Jenny and I with Signia CEO David Hufton. They had results out for 6 months ending March. Assets under management and administration up 27.8%, partly boosted by markets, but also boosted by inflows. Diluted headline earnings per share at 72.8 cents and a dividend, interim dividend, 55 cents versus 40 cents a year ago. David, appreciate the early morning time. We saw strong flows into retail deposits. You signed up significant new retail customers. Where was that flows going? Was it going into sort of the safer money markets? Was it going into equities or into your sort of FANG and fourth industrial revolution products?
Morning, Simon. Yes, we experienced some really great flows overall in the business, just shy of 4 billion rand. But retail in particular was flourishing over the last 6 months. Where the flows went, I mean, we attracted a lot of business into our skeleton balance range of unit trusts. Mm-hmm. Those are the passively managed funds, certainly into our fourth industrial revolution unit trust, as well as its ETF counterpart. And some money did flow into our money market fund. If you recall, we did offer a free management fee option into our money market fund, as well as our all bond fund. So we have seen good flows into those funds. But I think it's our tech funds and our passively managed skeleton range of unit trusts that has predominantly attracted those really good flows. Over 5 billion rand into retail in the last 6 months.
It's a giant number, and not to tell the retailers where to put their money, but it's great to see it going into equity. Often we see sort of fear driving it in other places. And one of the key points you mentioned there, I mean, this is passive money. I mean, if we had chatted a decade ago, we would have mentioned passive, but it would have been tiny. I mean, your flows in this 6 months is probably about as big as the passive market was a decade ago. It has been a fundamental shift over the last 10 years.
Quite right. I mean, although that said, passive remains small in South Africa.
Sure.
It's in its infancy. It probably makes up half of the U.S. Industry at the moment, a rising force in other developed markets. But I think retail investors as well as institutional investors are turning towards passive. They're turning to lower cost index tracking options. They're choosing to marry the best aspects of passive and active strategies. So we're seeing the market turn. I mean, investors are becoming far more fee sensitive, mm-hmm. particularly in a low return environment. So passive is on the up.
Yeah, I love that point. If your returns are lower, and that's if our inflation is lower, returns are lower, fees need to be lower. You did comment that you'd seen a fair amount of employers suspending or reducing retirement contributions. That's obviously, this is the period we were out of hard lockdown, but people were losing income, people were losing jobs. Has that started to reverse since year end? Are sort of the monthly contributions into retirement funds back to normal sort of levels?
It has started to abate. As you point out, particularly in our institutional business, in our umbrella fund space, we did notice two particular COVID-related matters. And that was firstly, you got your financially distressed employers that were either suspending or reducing their contributions to the funds they sponsor. And then secondly, we'd seen a markedly increase in retrenchments year on year.
Mm-hmm.
In our umbrella fund, where we have line of sight through to the nature of the exits or benefit payments, because we are the liability administrator in the umbrella fund, for the 12 months to the end of March, we had seen that 44% of all withdrawing members were due to retrenchment. Over the last 6 months, that's reduced to 26%, and I think that trend is continuing towards kind of pre-pandemic levels. On employers having reduced contributions, we saw 36% of our employees in our umbrella fund during the course of the last 12 months having reduced or suspended contributions. That's now down to 2% at the end of March.
Okay, so I mean that's sort of, I suppose, back to some normal. Quick last point. You mentioned again that I know a couple of years ago, Signia tried to get a crypto ETF. You tried again, being declined by the JSE. The JSE is basically saying there isn't sort of the structures in place to it. I mean, are there other options here? And OTC. I know you're putting together a new platform, or is it a case of you're going to wait for the JSE to be able to facilitate?
Simon, we applied back in 2017. We were eventually declined literally at the 11th hour for an ETF mm-hmm. listing on the JSE somewhere in 2018. We attempted it again 2 weeks ago. We submitted an application and were turned down again on the basis of there being no national framework to support the regulation of digital assets. We will keep trying, and quite right, we do have some other thoughts in mind that we are exploring, separate from an ETF. There are feeder funds one can consider. There are funds of funds that one could consider. So we're looking at various options.
We'll leave it there. There's some options coming through. We'll leave it there. David Houghton, CEO, Signia Asset Management, talking their results to end March. As David said there, they tried again to list the crypto ETF. Our question to you on our social media, LinkedIn, Facebook, and Twitter, do we need a listed crypto ETF? Yes, you want. Maybe you're buying direct, or perhaps no interest in cryptos.
MoneyWeb now on the money. Also available on podcast.